Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Please note that while I am a mental health professional and educator, this podcast and the information shared within it are intended solely for information, education, and entertainment purposes. The content discussed does not constitute therapy, counseling, or any form of professional mental health services. It should not be used as a substitute for therapy or personalized mental health treatment. If you are in need of support, please consult with a licensed therapist or appropriate healthcare professional. Hello everyone, welcome to today's episode where we'll be diving into the fascinating world of nonviolent communication, or NVC. Whether you're new to this concept or you've heard a bit about it before, today's episode will give you a fresh look at how nonviolent communication can transform our relationships and help us approach difficult conversations with empathy and clarity. Now, what exactly is nonviolent communication? We might think of violence only in terms of physical acts, but in communication, violence includes harsh words, judgments, and unexpressed frustrations. NVC teaches us to avoid this kind of harm by fostering a style of speaking and listening that helps us connect with others on a more compassionate level. Let's start with a story to set the stage. Imagine a manager in a busy office. She's frustrated because one of her team members has been arriving late almost every day this week. Finally, after days of stress building up, she confronts him saying, "You're always late. Do you even care about your job?" What's the likely response? The team member may feel attacked, defensive, or even resentful. When we communicate this way, it often blocks us from having a productive conversation. Now let's imagine the same situation, but using NVC, nonviolent communication, principles. If the manager used nonviolent communication, she might instead say, "I feel concerned when I see you arriving late because I value reliability and I really want our team to stay on track." Can you feel the difference? In the second example, the manager shares her feelings without blame, creating space for a more open and honest response from her team member. This small shift can make a huge difference. So how did this idea of nonviolent communication get started? The concept of nonviolent communication was developed in the 1960s by Dr. Marshall Rosenberg, a psychologist. Dr. Marshall Rosenberg and his family moved to Detroit just prior to the race riots that broke out there. Growing up in a time of great social unrest, Rosenberg saw firsthand the impact of violence and inequality. He became fascinated with how people could communicate in ways that either escalated or reduced tension. Over years of working with communities around the world, from schools to prisons, he developed the principles of nonviolent communication, showing how people could engage more constructively even in highly charged situations. Rosenberg's work has since spread internationally, and his book, Nonviolent Communication, A Language of Life, is now a go-to guide for people interested in developing empathy-based communication skills. So what makes nonviolent communication so different? Dr. Rosenberg structured NVC around four key components: observation, feelings, needs, and requests. Let's go through each one of them and see how they work. Firstly, observation. The first step in nonviolent communication is to observe the situation without making judgments or interpretations. This can be tricky, as many of us tend to react with assumptions or evaluations, especially during conflict. In nonviolent communication, we try to focus on objective observations. For example, instead of saying "you're always late," which is more of a judgment, we might simply say, "I noticed that you arrived at 9:15 instead of 9. Now, that's a small shift, but one that opens the conversation without putting the other person on the defensive. Secondly, feelings. Once we've observed, the next step is to identify and express our feelings. Often we confuse feelings with judgments, saying things like, You're making me so frustrated. Well, that's actually a judgment because it's placing blame. Instead, we could say something like, I feel frustrated. This is about expressing our own emotions, which helps others understand us without feeling accused. Identifying feelings is key in nonviolent communication because it's a way of being vulnerable, which allows others to connect with us on a more human level. Thirdly, needs. Now here's where it starts to get interesting. Every feeling we experience is tied to an underlying need, whether it's met or unmet. In the example of feeling frustrated about someone arriving late, maybe the need behind the feeling is for reliability or respect. By identifying our needs, we gain clarity on what's driving our emotions. Rosenberg emphasized that all humans share fundamental needs, things like connection, autonomy, and support. So understanding our needs isn't just about ourselves. It also gives us insight into others. Fourthly, requests. The final step in nonviolent communication is to make requests, not demands. Requests invite collaboration and allow the other person to say no, whereas demands usually create resistance. In our example, rather than saying, stop being late, which sounds like a command, we could try something like, would you be willing to let me know if you're running behind schedule? This simple rephrasing keeps the conversation open and respects the other person's autonomy. So to recap, nonviolent communication follows four steps: observation, feelings, needs, and requests. Together, they form a structure for expressing ourselves openly while still staying mindful of others' feelings and needs. Nonviolent communication isn't just about speaking differently. It's also about cultivating empathy and listening. Now let's move on to some practical ways you can start using these ideas in your life. I have a quick exercise that you can try now or later on when you have some time. First, think about a recent conversation or interaction that didn't go as well as you'd hoped. It could be something minor, like a disagreement with a friend, or even something more significant, like tension with a family member or colleague. Here's how you can express that conversation through the lens of nonviolent communication. First, observation. Start by noting what specifically happened. What were the words exchanged? Try to describe without adding your interpretation or feelings. Second, feelings. Then identify the feelings that came up for you during this interaction. Did you feel hurt, anxious, angry? List out your feelings. Thirdly, ask yourself, what needs of mine were behind those feelings? Maybe you needed understanding, or perhaps you needed cooperation or respect. And fourthly, requests. Think about what you could have requested in that moment to address those needs. How could you phrase it to invite cooperation rather than creating defensiveness? Doing this exercise, even in hindsight, can help you get familiar with the nonviolent communication process so that you are better prepared to use it in real time. Now you might be wondering, how realistic is this in real life? Well, nonviolent communication isn't something you master overnight. It's a skill and a practice that takes time, but even small shifts can have big impacts on how people respond to you and how you can handle different conversations. One of the most powerful aspects of nonviolent communication is that it encourages us to slow down. Instead of reacting immediately, we pause, reflect, and respond with empathy and honesty. And often, this pause can be the key to turning potential conflicts into moments of connection. Before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a final thought from Marshall Rosenberg. He said, "Nonviolent communication is founded on language and communication skills that strengthen our ability to remain human, even under trying conditions. To remain human, means to stay compassionate, even when it's challenging. In moments of frustration or conflict, nonviolent communication encourages us to connect with our shared humanity, which can remind us that we're all just trying to meet our needs as best as we know how. That's a powerful thought. Thank you for joining me today on today's journey through nonviolent communication. I hope you feel inspired to try some of these principles and see how they work for you. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe and feel free to leave a review. And if you'd like to learn more about nonviolent communication, there'll be some resources in the show notes. Until next time, stay curious, stay compassionate, and remember, communication is more than just talking. It's a path to understanding and connection. Take care. I'll see you at the next episode. May you be well.
The weather today will be glorious. Put on your sunglasses, sunscreen, and sun smiles. You're going to love it.